This is regional news coverage for KBIA News. I'm Janet Saidi. The showdown between Missouri's Democratic governor and the Republican-led General Assembly finally arrives today as legislators return to Jefferson City for their annual veto session. Governor Jay Nixon struck down or vetoed 29 bills this year, with most of the post-veto attention falling on two bills in particular. From Jefferson City, Marshall Griffin takes a look at what may or may not happen today.
Governor Nixon has spent the summer campaigning against House Bill 253, which would cut state income tax rates for individuals and corporations. Supporters say it'll enable Missouri to compete with neighboring states that have also cut taxes, primarily Kansas and Oklahoma. But Nixon vetoed the bill on June 5th and 1 week later kicked off his anti-override campaign before a group of higher education officials in Jefferson City.
All that we have achieved and all that we can achieve is now in peril. With a price tag of $800 million a year, House Bill 253 represents the single greatest threat to public education that I've seen in my career.
The governor would take that same message to cities and towns all across Missouri over the next 3 months, telling people that the tax cut would drain funding from education, children with autism, the poor, the disabled, and the elderly, as well as threaten the state's AAA credit rating. Nixon also harped on language in the bill he says would eliminate tax exemptions for prescription drugs and college textbooks. The anti-253 campaign appears to be working. In late July, GOP House Speaker Tim Jones appeared on St. Louis Public Radio's and St. Louis Beacon's Politically Speaking podcast, where he admitted that he doesn't think he'll have the two-thirds margin needed for an override.
The number sort of fluctuates every day. Somebody says, well, I don't know, or yes, I am. Unless those individuals and others who have concerns can look me in the eye and say, Mr. Speaker, I'm going to vote for the override, then there is no reason for me to bring it up, because I don't think there will be a single Democratic vote for the override.
The most recent count shows around half a dozen Republicans saying they won't vote for an override of House Bill 253. Meanwhile, many observers say the so-called Second Amendment Preservation Act has a better chance of being passed than the tax cut bill. House Bill 436 would declare any federal gun control law that violates Missourians' Second Amendment rights to be, quote, null and void. During debates back in April, the sponsor, Republican Doug Funderburk of St. Charles, said the bill is not about guns, but about restoring a proper relationship between federal and state governments.
This bill removes the noose the federal government has been gradually putting around the necks of its citizens and pulling it tighter and tighter and tighter.
But the governor and attorney general are both opposing it, saying it would open up police departments to lawsuits from anyone arrested under the proposed law. GOP floor leader John Deal says he thinks the House will take up anywhere from 5 to 7 bills for override. In Jefferson City, I'm Marshall Griffin.
The Southern Boone School District has plans today to utilize community churches and counseling resources to help students through the grieving process after yesterday's tragedy. A 17-year-old Southern Boone High School student fatally shot himself at 2 Tuesday morning while being taken into custody in Ashland. Southern Boone School Superintendent Chris Felmley had received a forwarded text indicating a threat to the high school on Monday night. Two police officers were sent to find the teen suspected of making the threat. When the officers were taking the teen into custody, he issued the fatal shot to his chest with a gun from inside the house. Felmley says the tragedy of the teen's death will affect the entire community.
It's not just the school, it's the whole community is going to go through this and need time to heal. It's a tragic, tragic loss, what occurred, and it's going to take time. We'll work closely with our community churches, counseling resources, definitely.
Felmley plans to have a counselor speak to each class in the school district, telling students what happened and notifying them of counseling resources. Classes were canceled yesterday as the district wanted to assure the safety of all students. All the school's buildings have been checked thoroughly, according to Felmley, and all are safe. Classes are scheduled to resume today. As discussion over the situation in Syria continues on the national level, more Missouri representatives are speaking out on Syria. Republican U.S. Senator Roy Blunt has announced he will not support President Obama's call for military action. The senator says he's worried about the message it sends.
Secretary of Kerry's words yesterday, unbelievably small military action that leaves Assad in place. I'm just not for that, and think it may actually wind up sending the wrong message, which is that the United States will do something but may not do very much.
And U.S. Representative Vicky Hartzler, also a Republican from Missouri, has also issued a statement addressing her concerns that she says her constituents have expressed about military action. She says participants on a recent conference call were overwhelmingly opposed to military involvement. Meanwhile, Democratic U.S. Senator Claire McCaskill has yet to comment on the situation in Syria. The St. Louis Post-Dispatch reports that a spokesperson for McCaskill's office said she is wrestling hard with the decision. The Missouri General Assembly Joint Committee on Education met yesterday regarding teacher tenure and human resources. The Missouri Department of Elementary and Secondary Education, or DESE, reports teacher shortages in 11 areas. KBIA's Ben Turner tells us about the data the legislators had to consider.
During their discussions about teacher tenure, the committee had access to the state's teacher shortage area report. The report shows a statewide teacher shortage in 11 areas ranging from physics to foreign languages. DESE's Assistant Director of Educator Preparedness, Heather McLeod, explains how the report is compiled from school districts.
If they have a vacancy, they report to us how many applicants they had for that vacancy, how qualified those applicants were for those vacancies, and then how they were able to fill it, whether or not they were able to fill it with an appropriately certified and qualified educator or not.
This school year's shortage report shows an increase in teacher shortage areas from last year. The report for next school year will be finalized December 15th. Ben Turner, KBIA News.
For KBIA News, I'm Janet Saidi.